Welcome to News Radio KMAN. I'm Derek Simmons, and I am joined here in studio by Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what brings you to Manhattan today?
Well, I gave the welcoming remarks at the Commodity Classic for soybeans, corn, wheat, and sorghum at the Alumni Center and got to interact with our agricultural industry here today.
How did the Kansas Commodity Classic go?
People are encouraged. I think, you know, every new year kind of gives fresh hope. We've had some real difficulties in ag. You know, our ag income overall is down. A lot of it's, well, I should say it's up, but it's down because actual ag production, because of prices. But the income is up because of the trade deficit payments. So there's concern. You know, we need to see, you know, more corn, sorghum, wheat, and milo going out to other countries. And so they're encouraged by the USMCA passage. But at the same point, they want to make sure that we have markets.
What are some of the steps that are being taken at the state level to improve the ag economy here in Kansas?
Well, one of the things the governor's doing with her budget this year is we've introduced a structurally sound budget in the sense that we have more income coming in than expenses going out. And we're trying to structurally put the budget in place where we have long-term growth, repay debt, making sure that we fund our most important agencies. And then again, I guess I want to emphasize, you know, paying down debt. And we've also added some things this year to give property tax relief through sharing state revenues with local governments, cities, and counties so that they can provide property tax relief to local folks. That's something that has not been funded for the last 10 or 12 years, and we need to get back to that so that the funds that the state used to pay for that are now being pushed down on local counties, they can now cover. We think that'll give some real relief. That'll help agriculture. Our ag department is also working on some trade deals, Department of Commerce as well. We've re-established some outside salespeople for Kansas to work with different countries and those kinds of things. So doing everything we can to increase our exports.
So speaking of the State of the State address and the budget proposal that soon followed, I believe another thing that was talked about was grocery tax.
Food sales tax?
Yes. Food sales tax. Uh-huh. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, we have one of the highest food sales taxes in the country. It's about a $400 million. Just a 1% decrease is about $60 million of revenue. One of the things that our summer, we had a bipartisan tax council look at what we could do. And what they suggested was that we enhance our tax rebate for our lower income Kansans. And so what that would do is even if they don't file taxes, they can get a refund on their food sales tax. I think it's up to $160 for an individual, $180 for a family by simply filling out a form. That would affect about 505,000 taxpayers in the state. We have about 1.2 million total taxpayers. We ultimately need to get off of, you know, lower our food sales tax entirely, but we're going to have to take some time to be able to wean ourselves off of that revenue. We've got to get our property tax and our income tax back in line so that we have what we call our old three-legged stool where we're depending on each one of those equally.
Now, if someone wanted to sign up for that,
there'd be some income limits. You know, I think it's $30,000 for an individual, $40,000 for a family. Anybody under that would qualify for that rebate. And, you know, it's what, again, we used to do years ago. It was a very simple process, just a simple form that they fill out and they get a check. So whether they pay taxes or not, they could still qualify for those low income. We think that's the fastest way to get, the best way to get a sizable chunk. If we cut our food sales tax by 1%, almost none of us would feel it or even understand that there was a cut on that. I'm at an income level where I don't necessarily need that, but I'd rather see our lower income, you know, our students, our younger families get that as a boost. It would be money that they would then spend in the community, you know, right away to help our economic situation.
So another topic that was hit on pretty heavily in the State of the State address was Medicaid expansion.
Yes.
Can you just
We're encouraged. The governor and the majority leader of the Senate, who had been kind of standing in the way, have come up with an agreement, a compromise. We think it's a win-win for both sides politically, but it's also a win for our rural hospitals and for our underinsured Kansans. The hearings began on that bill yesterday. They're going to go on for another 3 or 4 days. We're hopeful. There's 22 sponsors of it in the Senate, and you need 21 to pass. It's already passed in the House, and so we think the two can work together. There's still a number of the leaders that don't want it. They don't understand the economic impact. It really will create a lot of jobs. It will mean several million dollars of additional healthcare funding funding that we're already spending and paying to Washington, but it's going, that money is going to other states. It's going to bring that money back to Kansas. It'll mean about over $300 million to our local hospitals. And for our rural hospitals, in many cases, it'll mean the difference between a loss to a profit. 85% of our hospitals are operating at a negative margin, and they're not going to be able to keep doing that. And while we don't think Medicaid expansion will quote-unquote save a rural hospital, we know that it's the fastest way to get them funding, particularly for costs that they're already incurring. They're paying for this health care for people that aren't insured, and it will provide insurance to about 150,000 Kansans that don't have it now.
How would Medicaid expansion be funded?
Under this compromise, it would be funded by a $35 million contribution from local hospitals. So a big chunk of that would come directly from the hospitals themselves.
So another topic that Governor Laura Kelly talked about was, I think it was transferring money from KDOT.
Okay, closing the bank of KDOT?
Yeah.
For a long time, we have not had enough revenue to fund our state general fund, and so we've been taking money out of KDOT, funds that should be going to our highway fund. Last year, we cut about $100 million out of the state general fund to keep it into the Department of Transportation. This year, we're trying to keep another $73 million, and then we hope by the end of our first term, there's $150 million left. We want that to be totally eliminated, and we can say we closed the bank of KDOT. What that means to Kansans is that the potholes, the roads that need to be maintained will be better maintained. They'll be safer. Some of the projects that have been delayed that were in the original transportation plan will be funded, and so highways will be improved. It's really an economic issue. It will put a lot of our contractors back to work here in Kansas. Many of them have had to take their businesses and their employees out of state. It'll also mean safety, and even local businesses, if they have better roads, we can move their products for export faster and more efficiently as well.
So closing the quote bank of KDOT, that wouldn't hinder KDOT's ability to maintain state roads?
No, because right now it's taking money away from them. When we move money out of the state highway fund, we use it for just general bills. You know, it's like taking money from your mortgage, that money that's meant for your mortgage, and putting it into your grocery bill. You know, this will basically let us leave it in the transportation fund so that it can be used for maintenance and those kinds of things. So, you know, it basically just means more money for highways.
So kind of on the same topic, Governor Kelly also talked about revising the infrastructure plan for like roads and bridges in Kansas.
Right. We've had a 10-year plan that, again, because of the state financial problems and the previous administration's tax plan, that kept money away from many of the projects that were planned. The legislature had passed a 10-year project plan, and we're trying to go back, as we close the bank of KDOT, make sure that those 8 or 10 projects that were delayed or canceled get done. They're located throughout the state. The Federal Transportation Department requires a new plan every 25 years, and so we're putting together our plan for the next 25. And so we hope to have something coming to the legislature where, as the state plans the transportation funding that they approve in the budget, that they start looking at what new projects we can do over the next 10 years.
Another proposal that came up in the budget proposal was a tax on online streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Spotify.
It goes a little bit beyond that. You know, right now, if you buy a book or a movie in a local bookstore or a local brick and mortar store on Main Street, you pay sales tax. If you buy that through a streaming system or you buy that online, you don't have to pay tax. And so our local merchants are really at a disadvantage. And this really levels the playing field so that everybody has to pay the same. So what that would do, it does generate additional revenue, but then what our plan is to return that to property tax owners, you know, property tax payers under the food sales tax. So it makes those tax programs neutral. But it really is a fairness issue. You know, we've started collecting sales tax on our out-of-state merchants because of the South Dakota versus Mayfair decision. Before, again, if you bought things through online, oftentimes you didn't have to pay sales tax. But if you bought it at the local store, you did. And so, you know, our local business owners pay property tax. They hire your neighbors. And if it puts them at a competitive disadvantage, they can't do that. And so we think this is really positive. It just makes it a much more level playing field. And, you know, for the first time, it's much more fair. This is just one gap that's missing. And we're one of only few states that does not do that already.
So those items aren't currently taxed?
If you buy them online, if you buy them in a store, they are taxed. And so that's really what the difference is. If you're buying those services in other states, you're probably already paying that tax as well. So again, it's a fairness issue across the country and across the state.
So just out of my own curiosity, how does the state determine how to tax those items when they're coming from a company that is located out of state?
We work with a multi-state tax group where those merchants, those businesses online, report their sales by state to this clearinghouse, and then they collect the tax from them and then remit it to us. So it's a very simple process for them, and they do it for, you know, 30 or 40 states all at one time. So there is a trust issue. They do register with us. You know, if we find out that they haven't been paying tax and they're selling services to us, then I'm sure our Department of Revenue would investigate them just like they would, you know, a local merchant that's not remitting sales tax that's due and proper.
So going forward, what does the near future of your guys' plan?
Administration? Well, we're continuing, you know, we're really dedicated and committed to rebuilding the state. That's really what we think the citizens elected us for. And so that is putting together a stable, sound budget that funds our basic services. You know, wanting to make sure that we continue to invest in our, with our children, DCF, children and families. We're very concerned about mental health services, you know, not just for college students and military, but for our ag producers. You know, there's a lot of stress there. We're needing to look at that on a more aggressive basis. We're trying to shut down or stop the moratorium, which keeps new patients from going into Osawatomie and our state hospitals. There's just a lot of work. Many of our agencies were, you know, hollowed out, trying to rebuild the Department of Commerce and beefing up some of the services that they provide. We have a lot of concern there because of the layoffs in Wichita with Spirit. And that affects the supply chain all the way to Johnson County and Southeast Kansas. There's a lot of smaller companies that provide parts and service, and those companies are now also suffering because of the Boeing mishap.
Well, I think that's all I have for you.
Great. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here and share a little bit. And if we can answer any questions, encourage people to contact us at the governor's office.
So, awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Lieutenant Governor Lynn Rogers.
Thanks.